This morning to Genesis chapter 1 verse 31, and then we're going to go back a book or so to the book of Exodus and then to Romans in the New Testament. The rhythm of daily life and Sabbath part 2. Now everybody remember we talked about the daily office last week, which meant our daily work and what that looked like, and I said there's two parts to this, and today you're going to see the second part of the message entitled The Sabbath. What does that mean? What does that look like? There's questions we're going to answer in this morning, but we're first going to see what the Word of God says to us, and then we'll go from there this morning. Genesis 1, verse 31 through 2-4. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And then turn to the book of Exodus, about page 136 or so, 137. Exodus 31, we're going to begin at verse 12, and we're going to read through verse 17. And this is entitled The Sabbath. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now I'm going to finish out the end of this chapter. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God, which we know as the Ten Commandments. And then turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 14. We're going to begin at verse 4, and we're going to read through the first part of chapter, or verse 6. About page 1763 is where I'm at. "Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord." The reading of the word of the Lord. I also want to make your attention, I'm not going to read it this morning, but on the back of your outline is Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. Which is the Sabbath commandment and the Ten Commandments. So you got that for reference today as well. This morning, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be present with us this morning. May these be words be yours and not mine. Lord, fill me with that same Spirit as I bring your message to your people. Lord, we pray for those that have gathered here today or that are watching online. Lord, may your Spirit fill their minds, hearts, and souls to receive your word today. May it teach us how to live in the world that we're a part of today. May we learn and grow in our faith. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. A couple of summers ago, I spent a week in Canada doing some fishing at Cat Tracks Lodge. Anybody been on Lake Savant before? Oh, there's a few of you that have. Very good. So I have a fishing story for you. So, and it's real, by the way, so I'm not fibbing you here. So, but I spent a week up there a couple years ago, and I know some of you from around here have spent time there. It's a great place to go fishing. The first time that I've ever been to Canada fishing. And I tell you, when you go fishing there, it ruins fishing around here because it's just so good. You catch a lot of fish all week. And so that's the best week of fishing that I've ever had in my life, was that 5 or 6 days we were on Lake Savant. We caught some nice-sized walleye all week. And believe it or not, there's the slot limit, and if you know fishing, we're only allowed to keep one over 25 inches long. That's a pretty good size walleye. And so you catch your first one, and you're excited, and it's only like day two, and you got like three more days to go, and you have to make a decision, do I keep this fish, or do I put it back? Am I going to catch another one over 25 the rest of the... See, you don't know for sure, do you? So I kept my first one. And guess what happened the next day? I caught a 28-inch walleye, 3 inches bigger, but I had to put it back. See, and the rule there is that when you catch a fish like that, it's catch and release, you must handle it least as possible, and you must get it back in the water, of course, for it to survive and live, and hopefully you can come back next year and you can catch some of those same big fish. But we caught a lot of big fish that week, and it was enjoyable. And we came back with our limit, and we had a lot of fish in our freezer to eat throughout the winter and so on. But here's the point I want to make to you this morning. See, fish are designed to live in water, aren't they? And outside of water, they do not do very well in life. And so you and I, we are designed to live with the weekly Sabbath. That's how God made you. And if you don't observe weekly Sabbath, you are not going to live very well. Life's going to get messy. Remember, we're talking about the spiritual healthiness of our lives, and what does it look to grow in our faith and to grow and mature in our spirituality in our lives? A Sabbath restores. A Sabbath refreshes. It sustains us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's what it's about in our lives. So I'm going to challenge you to think about your Sabbath. And we're going to get into all kinds of things this morning, and we're going to answer some hard questions, and maybe I'll step on some toes this morning, and you might think that, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be, and, you know, maybe you've learned that. There may be man-made rules involved in some of this stuff, but we're going to look at some of those things today. But the word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word that means to cease or to stop working. That's what it means. If you look at that word in the Bible, in the Hebrew language. Now, for some of us, that's going to feel awkward, isn't it? To stop, to cease. It's going to feel like a fish out of water, maybe, for you and I, if we're not used to practicing Sabbath on a regular basis. But if we are followers of the Lord, we're called to live a Sabbath in our lives. That's what He wants for us. It's good for us. Not only physically, but also spiritually. And so Sabbath refers to a period of rest or doing nothing related to work for a 24-hour period of time. That's what the Israelites practiced. That's what they observed as Sabbath. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, if you don't quite get the full 24 hours in, it's a bad deal. That's not the point I'm trying to make here this morning. But what I'm trying to make is it refers to a unit of time that we are to reorient our lives as holy. That's the key. Holy, all right? Holy. What does that look like? You know, the word holy means set apart, different than the rest of the week. It looks different. It means to separate it from the others. And on the Sabbath, we are to imitate God by stopping and restoring. Not that we're God, but we imitate the things that God does. He stopped, He rested. On the seventh day. Genesis 2 verse 3 is on the bottom of your screen. Then God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy for you and I. Now our culture knows nothing about setting aside a day of the week to rest or to take Sabbath, does it? And without the Sabbath, the blizzard that I've been talking to you about the last several weeks takes over. You lose the rope. The storms of life come in, they're hard to navigate, they're hard to understand if we're not well connected to God in our lives. And so Sabbath enables you to grab the rope. It enables you to withstand the storms that might come, especially this past Friday morning. The storm came, didn't it? The blizzard took over. So Sabbath provides a healthy, godly rhythm in our lives. And Sabbath is commanded by God in Scripture. We read that. In fact, you can look at it on your outline to get home. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11 is that commandment of the Sabbath. Did you know that this is the most well-spelled out commandment in the Bible? More than all the others, the other nine? The Sabbath is talked about the most in Scripture. Explained of what we could or couldn't do and what that should look like in our lives. So take some time to look at that today. When we observe Sabbath in our lives, we affirm that God is the center and source of our lives. We give Him that time, don't we, in our lives. When we stop for Sabbath rest, we are trusting God to provide and care for us. Right? We work hard the other 6 days of the week, but on the seventh day, God rested, and so are we. And we trust God that the world's not going to just fall apart because you stop for one day. The Sabbath was a hallmark to the Israelites. It kept them from being sucked into the culture around them. Do you ever feel the pressure of being sucked in to the culture around you in your life? See, the Sabbath is intended to pull you out of that culture and give you a day with God, to give you a day of rest in your life. It's no different today, is it? It keeps us from being sucked into the culture. Sabbath can provide a very healthy rhythm in our lives. And God knew we would need Sabbath rest. Right? Especially in this sinful world, the things that you and I come up with against the week, the things that go on, we need that restoration. God worked, we are to work. God rested, we are to rest in our lives. You and I are deeply loved by God for who we are, not what we do. Remember that. Not what you do in your life. So if God commands that we take a 24-hour period to be in Sabbath, what should that look like? What does that mean? And so in just a little bit, I'm going to share with you four biblical principles that we should follow in our lives that apply to Sabbath. All right? But here's one of the biggest things, biggest dangers we have to be careful with Sabbath is legalism. All right? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we have these man-made rules that we put in place of the Sabbath of what we think rest should look like and what it shouldn't look like, right? And there's all kinds of different rules out there today. Different churches have different rules. Different people in the churches have different rules. Crazy stuff goes on. And I've shared with you in the past some of the legalism that was in the Horseman family and my dad grew up. On Sundays, you were never allowed to start a tractor. Yep, Genesis 3, verse 4 says it. Right? Nope. But one day, my dad, he's the youngest of 11, 10 brothers and one sister, so he's a little ornery, all right? He's probably listening today, so I'm sorry, Dad, but one day, on a Sunday afternoon, Grandpa and Grandma are in the house, they're visiting. My other aunts and uncles are probably there having coffee, and all of a sudden, my Grandpa Horseman hears the A. John Deere pop off. Whoo, Grandpa was hot. And he chewed out my dad for starting a tractor because you couldn't start a tractor on Sunday. That was sinning. You see what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not coming down on my grandparents, but that's a form of legalism, isn't it? How many of you remember? Maybe some of you older ones remember that. My grandma peeled potatoes on Saturday night for Sunday dinner as to not do more work. That's what she was like. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. In her faith journey, that's what she thought Sabbath rest should be like, and I'm not downgrading them for that. But you know what? You won't find those things written in the Bible, will you? You need to peel your potatoes on Saturday night. Right? John 20, verse 6. See, those are forms of legalism that kind of enter into the Sabbath. You know the rules that I'm talking about. Some of you are rolling them around in your head right now, right? Oh, remember when this and that happened? So you're going to learn about some of those things this morning. So what I want you to be aware of, and I read to you the verse out of Romans. Hear this again. Chapter 14. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike, which means they don't observe the Sabbath. The first one at least picks out the one day of the Sabbath. And then it says, each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind, whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. See, it's about dedicating that day to the Lord. And we'll get into more of that in just a minute here, of what that looks like, what that means to us in Sabbath. Jews kept what day of the week as Sabbath? Saturday, right? When their Sabbath started on sundown on Friday night, went all the way through Saturday, sundown, Saturday evening, they were finally through Sabbath. That's how they celebrated. Now, the Christian church today, New Testament church, we celebrate on Sunday because that's when Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, which we celebrate in a few weeks. That has now become the Sabbath for Christians, Sunday. There's the difference there, so you guys know, and I think most of you are aware of that. But I am a firm believer that our Sabbath rest starts on Saturday night. The point is to select a period of time and protect it as holy. So what do you do with nurses, doctors, others who work on Sunday, preachers? What does that look like? See, here's the point. It's not so important that you celebrate it on the Sabbath, but you take time for Sabbath to be with God. My time is Monday, where I like to get away from everything that's going on throughout my work week, and I do my kind of my own thing. Sabbath. Now, I also try to I'm used to being part of the Sabbath on Sunday for so many years of my life before I was a pastor that I still slip into Sabbath on Sunday as well. We're after church and after Sunday school and whatever we finish up here and we get home and I can just be down for the afternoon. I enjoy that. That's really when my Sabbath starts, probably like noon, 12:30 on Sunday afternoon and it runs into Monday. See, that's that block of time that I consider to be holy in my life. And on Mondays, one of the things I enjoy doing is I listen to bot radio quite a bit, and maybe some of you do if you're around a radio, but there's a lot of good Christian preaching on that radio station, and I like to turn that on and just listen to those guys preach different verses, and I love to do that on my Sabbath day. Get away. Once in a while, the phone rings or I get a text from church people, and I have to answer, and that's okay, but the point is that I get time for me and God just to be. But why is it so hard for us to stop? I want you to think about that for a moment. Because you have projects to complete. You have odds and ends to catch up on. You have bills to pay. You got the house to clean, right? All those things kind of seep into Sunday and they kind of take over once in a while on our Sabbath because life is so busy, isn't it? And part of the problem, I think, is that sometimes we don't always trust that God will take care of things. But did you know, this is crazy, when you die, you're going to have all kinds of unfinished business. And that's okay. So why you try to rush and get it all done now in your life? Because when you die, you're going to have all kinds of unfinished business. And that's okay. Don't worry about it. But the important thing is I think we take time for Sabbath. And it involves around trusting God in our lives. That stopping gives you mental rest. It gives you physical rest. It restores your eagerness to go back to work on Monday. How many of you have worked 7 days a week straight through before, and after a 2-3 week period of time, you're just like, man, I am just sick of going to work. Could use a day off. Any of you ever been there? Right? Yeah, that's what it's like. You get that feeling, don't you? And you know that you didn't get that break or you didn't take time away. It's the healthy rhythm that God knew we needed. I have the first one that I want to talk to you about is stopping in our life. Stop the normal. So you got the four principles that I'm going to give you this morning. Here's the first one that I want you to look at in your life. And you think about Sabbath, put it in this frame this morning. Now, there's no hard written rule on some of this stuff, but here's kind of what we see that's taught in Scripture is that we are supposed to stop, right? One day a week for a period of time, we're supposed to stop. 46 verse 10 in the book of Psalms says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Sabbath is a time to rest. I have a story for you this morning about stopping. How many of you are familiar with the Oregon Trail? Some of you maybe learned that in school. Let me tell you just a little bit of a story about the Oregon Trail. There's a group of Christians that were in St. Louis, Missouri. And there's a large group of people, and they're heading to Oregon with covered wagons back in the 1800s. And they started on their journey in the spring, and they're hoping to get there by late fall before winter came in. And they were behind schedule. And they thought, what do we do? How do we get there in time before winter sets in as they went west? And so they had this discussion, and just like normal church people, what do you think happened? They couldn't agree on everything. So they split. Became two groups. One said, we are going to stop and observe the Sabbath. Every 7 days we're going to rest and we're going to praise God. We're going to take time to do that no matter when winter sets in. And the other group said, you know what? We don't think we're going to make it there in time. We're going to hit some vicious storms. It could kill us. We're going to plug straight through and we're going to get there before you guys do. And so they went on their ways. And who do you think got there first? Those who observed the Sabbath. Days ahead. Why do you think they got there first? And here's why. They were rested. Their horses were rested. The people were eager to travel again the next day when they took a break. You see, our lives are no different. You want to have a good Monday? Observe the Sabbath on Sunday. That's what it's about. Here's the second point this morning. It's rest. God rested after his work. Genesis 2, verse 2 on the bottom of your screen. We're to do the same. But here is the million-dollar question that causes all kinds of disputes and gets everybody's hair raised up on the back of their neck is this question right here. What is the definition of Sabbath rest? What does that look like? What should that mean in my life? Right? We got, here's where, don't be starting that tractor on Sunday. Oh, better get those potatoes peeled on Sunday night, right? We got all those types of rules that go on in our lives. And you know, don't hear me say to you, because maybe you have a rule that you've hung on to your whole life, that's a bad thing, because maybe that works for you. But here's what I want you to figure out, is that don't get stuck on judging others saying, this is how it's got to look all the time for everyone. Notice what the answer is on the bottom of the screen. This is whatever delights and replenishes you in your life. That does not mean sinning. That does not mean that, I'm going to go drink a 12-pack of beer on a Sunday afternoon because that delights me, right? That is not what that means. I'm in the context of worship here yet. I'm in the context of rest. I'm in the context of spending time with Jesus Christ in our lives. And we do what replenishes and fills us up on the inside. That's what that means. For some of us, that might mean taking a Sunday afternoon nap. Nothing wrong with that. But for others of you, it might mean going for a walk or going for a bike ride. Or whatever that might look like. But here's the point. You need to spend that time turning over God. Turning over God's creation. Learning about what you maybe learned in church the morning before. Or the morning of. In those Bible verses. And just contemplating life. You see, God wants you to rest from your work. He wants you to rest from your physical exhaustion. Of just being busy all week. He wants you to rest from your hurriedness of life. Right? That's what he's after. in the Sunday evenings in the summertime, one of the things that I enjoy the most is being in my garden. I like to garden. Tomatoes, pickles, onions, all that kind of stuff. I just love to do that. Sunday evenings when the sun starts to set and it's cool out there, I like to be out there and, you know, harvest what I've grown and take care of what's going on. And that's just a refreshing time for me to do that. But what I want you to do is do things you normally wouldn't do the rest of the week. That's what it should look like. The third principle is delight. Delighting in what God has given us. Genesis 1 verse 31, we read it at creation this morning. God said, God saw all that he had made, and it was very what? Good, right? And he created the enjoyment of the earth for us to take part and to live life with here this morning. We live in a world that's delight deficient. All right? To me, that sounds like the blizzard flavor of the month at Dairy Queen. I'll take one large delight deficient, right? That's what it sounds like to me. You see, we live our lives being delight deficient as Christians. God said, I created this world for you to enjoy, to delight in my creation. And what did he create? Everything. Didn't he? Right? The heavens, the earth, the beauty of the earth. He created your family, your neighbors, your friends. And God said, I want you to delight in those things on your Sabbath. Go spend time with family. Go spend time with neighbors, with friends. Get out in Mother Nature. In a little minute, I'm going to tell you, go to church. So hold on to that. That's coming yet. But here's the point. Do not be delight deficient in your life. When it comes to the Lord on the Sabbath that we practice. And if that blizzard comes on the menu someday, just be prepared at Dairy Queen. You're in the drive-thru, right? Did you know that the phrase, it was very good, see it on the bottom of the screen up there? If you convert those words to Hebrew, this is what it says. And you might find this interesting. It says, have a sense of joy. Is what it means in Hebrew. It means wonder. Right? Investigate the things of God. Creation, family, friend, whatever it might be. And it means, this is a great word I think, that we so often pass over, is play. It says play. Child of God, take time to play. Now, you define what play looks like, right? I told you there's no hard parameters around that, but to frame it in the eyes of Christ and worship and his creation and the things that fulfill you in life, God says, I want you to play, people. I don't want you to work all the time. I know I created you to work day in and day out, and that's sometimes we strive for that, and we don't live very balanced lives. We've talked about that already. Here's another warning I want you to be aware of. Some people believe that Sunday is for family, right? And let me tell you this. I have no problem with you spending time for family, but that theologically that's not quite correct because Sunday is the Lord's Day, and I first want you to hold God in the highest place, and then your family. Don't ever put family up here above God because then you have some issues. Sunday's the Lord. I think I started with this. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will what? Rejoice. Be glad. Be happy. Right? That's what it means. You are commanded to enjoy it, to have fun in life. Enjoy people. Enjoy friends. Enjoy neighbors. Enjoy God's creation. Enjoy being in the presence of your Lord. This is how I want to end here today. This is the most important one, number four. It's entitled, The Contemplation of God. This is what you need to go home with today when you leave here. This is where the rubber hits the road, right here. All right? the Sabbath is always to be holy to the Lord. Now, I give you the the definition of holy is to be set apart. It's to look different as a Christian in this world. Exodus 31, verse 15, roughly says, for 6 days is to be done, but the seventh day is the day of rest, holy to the Lord. How many of you ever heard this phrase that I've often lived by? And it's not my phrase, but I heard it from somebody else when they say, if you can't do it in six, you'll never do it in seven. You ever heard that before? Yeah, how true is that? There's a lot of people that think they can just roll off life and we can do it in 7 days a week and we'll make it work. But if you can't do it in six, you'll never make it in seven. So holy means set apart. Sabbath includes gathering with God's people for worship. It's gathering to read and study Scripture, to hear the message, to be in the community of believers, to be in the family of God. That's what it means. That's what Sabbath should look like. It simply means that you and I should be in church, in worship, as the body of Christ, every Sabbath. Not just once in a while, not just once a month, not every couple weeks. You know, I know we're living in COVID right now, and some of you are online, and some of you are just back after a while being gone, and I get that. I'm not harping on you about that. But God says, be in church. Be gathered with God's people. Did you know that the Jewish people, they had a special day out of the week to prepare for Sabbath day? They called it the day of preparation. Their Friday was spent buying groceries and washing clothes and getting ready for Sabbath for Saturday. That's what they did. That's how their life looked. That's how important it was to them in their life. So what does it mean in your life to prepare yourself for worship? To receive the Word of God? What does that look like? I'm not going to answer for you this morning what that means because you have to do that yourself. I hinted at what I thought. For me, my Sabbath begins on Saturday night when I need to go to bed. And sometimes Dory and I, we kind of buck once in a while at that because, you know, she wants to go out and do something. And I want to get to bed on time because I want to be here. And I want to give you my best effort as I preach the Word of God to you. And I want that to be that way. That's my Sabbath. That's the time I need to prepare. What do as you prepare to come to church? What does that look like in your life? Right? What are the things that you do the night before that might hinder your worship on Sunday morning? You and I are designed to keep God at the center of our Sabbath. Let me finish up with this morning. How many of you like snow days? Oh, yep, a lot of hands go up. All right. How many of you would love snow days without the snow? Right? Okay, so this is the point I want to make with you this morning. In the teaching of God, God says that I will give you a snow day without snow most of the time, every 7 days of the week. Every 7 days, you get to have a snow day where everything stops in your life. It looks different. You get to rest. You get to be with God. You get to be with family. Do you get it? So why is it that for some of us, we have a hard time taking that snow day? Right? That Sabbath in our lives. God says, take time to stop. Take time to do things different. How many of you enjoy Sunday dinner? How many of you, Al's got his hand up there quite a ways, yeah? How many of you think it's the best meal of the week? Sunday dinner. Nobody? I'm sorry, moms. See, here's the point. When you have Sunday dinner, what are you doing? You're stopping, aren't you? You're taking time to enjoy it, aren't you? Those who are around the table, you also take time to enjoy the roast, the mashed potatoes. The corn even tastes better, doesn't it, on Sunday noon dinner? That's because your mind is in a different place, delighting on the things of God. See, that's what he says to do. Do that in life. Don't carry around the heavy burden. God says, take time. Live life well, is what he says. This is how I intended you to be. This is how I created you to be. You see, all those things we learned the last few weeks of the daily office, your daily work life, and now we learned about the Sabbath and what that keeping looks like. So God calls us to slow down into his rhythm. That's the Sabbath is. It's not the world's rhythm. It's his rhythm. That's my challenge for you as you leave here today. Be in God's rhythm on the Sabbath. And you're going to grow in spiritual maturity. You're going to grow in hanging on to that rope and withstanding the blizzards of life when you live life like that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.